I want to talk to you this morning about you can't keep a blessed man down. You can't keep a blessed man down. So there's really there's a scripture in Genesis chapter 12 that I'm going to read here in a minute. And really I'm just going to talk about that scripture because you have a grace. If you're following Jesus, you know Jesus, you have an anointing and a grace, a very particular anointing and grace on your life that I want you to know about, and I want you to be confident about, and so that you can walk in it. And so, I just want to give you this, three facts about who you are now that you're in Christ. First of all, you're a son. You could say daughter if you're a girl. It's the same thing. You're a child of God. And because you're a son or daughter, you are blessed. Everybody say, I am blessed. Okay? You are blessed and you're a blessing. You are a blessing. Say, I am a blessing. And so I'm going to read this in Genesis chapter 12. God comes to Abraham, or Abram. And it says, the Lord said to Abram, and he gives him a command. He says, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. So God gives him a command, very first thing. And what happened at this time, there's not many people who actually know God in this, at this point in history, okay? And people are worshiping idols, and they're just deceived, and they don't really know the way to God, because nobody knows the way to God in and of themselves. It's a gift. God reveals himself to people. And therefore, we know who he is, and we know how to relate to him properly. That's the truth. And so nobody knows God. And then God says, I want relationship with people, so I'm coming to reveal myself to this guy. And he's living in this land where there's idolatry everywhere. There's sin all over the place. And he says, Abram. He reveals himself to Abram. He says, leave this place. And the reason I think God's doing that is probably several reasons. I think one of the reasons is I'm going to teach you who I am and how to live the new way of life. Okay, and I got to get you out of the culture of idolatry and sin that you're immersed in. I got to teach you a new way. I got to teach you how to trust in me, to rely on me, to worship only me, and I got to show you who I am. So he says, leave this place, go to the place I will show you. Doesn't even tell him where. Just says, go to the place that I'm going to show you. And then Abraham, of course, obeys, and then God says this in verse 2. It says, you do what I just told you, and this is what I'll do for you. Number one, God says, I will make you into a great nation. Anybody know what that nation, his name is today? It's the nation of Israel. It's going to exist forever and ever and ever. And when Jesus returns, he's going to be the king of the nation of Israel. He's going to be the head of their national government, and he's going to rule all the nations of the earth. From the world capital will be Jerusalem. Okay? Just for you. It's good to know that. He says, I will make you into a great nation. Then he says, here it is what I want to get to. I will bless you. I will bless you. And then he says, I'll make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. Everybody say this with me. I will bless you. I will make you a blessing to others. Now, you, because you have faith in God, you heard the gospel, you believed it, Jesus says, leave your sinful, idolatrous way of life and follow me, and I'm going to teach you a new way of living, how to know God and relate to God, and you believe that message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you chose to follow him, through faith, have the exact same blessing that God gave to Abraham is upon you. Because you're a child of God. Are you with me so far? Okay? So God says to you, there's this supernatural favor from God that's on you. Wherever you go, God says, I will see to it that you're going to be blessed in there. Whatever you put your hand to, I will personally see to it. I'm going to bless it. And God says this, wherever you go, the other thing I'm going to do, not only will you be blessed there, I'm going to see to it that you're a blessing to the people who are there. This is a blessing that's on your life. God goes on to Abraham. He says, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. The cool thing is most of you in this room, probably almost all of you, are not Jewish. Most of you are of different nations than Abraham's bloodline. You guys following me? And yet you're blessed. You are blessed through the work that God began with Abraham and continued on through the centuries that culminated in Jesus coming forth, and we followed the Messiah. Amen. And we're blessed, and we will be blessed forever and ever, every nation. So as a child of God, there is an anointing on you, like instantly, as soon as you're born again. You say yes to Jesus. This morning, you may not know Jesus. I'll give you the opportunity at the end, and you'll be like, I'm going to turn away from my sin, and I'm going to follow Jesus and do what he says. Immediately, the Spirit will come into you, the Holy Spirit will, and as soon as he does, there will be this grace, this power, this favor from God that's on you, where God says, I'm going to see to it that you're blessed wherever you go. Just seek me and do things my way, and I'll bless you. And then he says this, I will make you a blessing wherever you go. And this is a big deal to believe. So this is all I'm going to talk about all morning. Okay, I'm just going to say this in different ways over and over again until you could say it in your sleep and tell others. That's what I want. I want you to believe it. Here's the blank on your sheet. As a child of God, there is an anointing upon your life that causes you to be blessed and to be a blessing wherever you go. So I consciously tell myself this because we need to believe this. And that's the thing. I want you to have confidence in this on your life. Sometimes, how many of you know, there can be a grace and an anointing that's on your life, but a lot of times we don't walk in the fullness of it because we don't have confidence that it really works. But I want to renew my mind and walk in this, and I tell myself this regularly. I speak this blessing over my kids often, my wife, and so when I go to a place, I'm just like, God, I thank you. I thank you that I'm a child of God today. Therefore, I am blessed today. Doesn't matter what the devil tries to do. Doesn't matter what people do. Everywhere I go, they're going to override things and make sure that I end up blessed. And everywhere I go today, people are going to be blessed through me because of your grace that's at work in my heart and in my life. Everywhere I go, every single day, if I put my hand to it, it will be blessed. Another way to say that is this. If I put my hand to it, God puts his hand to it. This isn't, this isn't arrogance. How many of you know there's a, we think humility a lot of times is like the absence of confidence. We think sometimes we mistake insecurity for humility. And they're totally different things. A person who is humble recognizes that apart from Christ, they can do nothing. Jesus even said that. I mean, the Son of God, the sinless Son of God, born of the Spirit, says to the Father, he says, I can do nothing except what I see my Father doing. And we know that we are nothing apart from him. We can do nothing apart from him. But in him and through him, I can do all things. Nothing is impossible for God. If God says, come on, let's do this, then you know what? I'm going to go and somehow he's going to work and we're going to get it done. So we want to be, God wants us to be humble. We give him the credit. We give him the glory. But he also wants us to be confident. And the confidence isn't in ourselves and our own ability. I mean, you could try that for a little while. He'll let you go until you fail enough. And then you'll realize, man, actually, I'm pretty much a loser. And that's truth. It's a good message, isn't it? Apart from Jesus, you are a loser. That's true. Okay? And it's good to know that. It's called Blessed Are the Poor in Spirit. You have to start there. I can do nothing apart from you. And it's not confidence in yourself and your own ability. It's confidence in the Lord. Because God is with me. It's because God's favor He promised that he would bless me. And I'm going to obey and do what he says because I think this would bring him pleasure if I set my hand to this task or whatever it is. I'm going to believe God for this, and I'm going to do this and obey this. Then it's like I believe that God's going to work in my favor, and he's going to somehow bring forth good fruit. And he's going to be glorified, and I'm going to be blessed, and people are going to be blessed, and everybody will celebrate, and we'll all give glory to God, and it's going to be happily ever after. Humility is being confident in the Lord, not in yourself. So I just want to make that distinction. I'm not trying to promote arrogance in any way, but I am trying to promote confidence in the Lord and in the blessing that he has spoken over your life. So I'm going to go into Ephesians chapter 1, okay? If you have a Bible, you can open it to Ephesians chapter 1. Hey, that's cool. It just opened there. I don't even have a book now. That's nice. I'm just going to read a few verses to you. I encourage you to just meditate on these. These will make you happy. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. This verse right here, I love this verse. I remember when God made this verse real to me. It was 1997, I think. And I was in my trailer, living in my single-wide mobile home, the Glory House. I love that house. To this day, I love that house. Because I had so many God encounters in that place. And it was where I lived when Autumn and I first got married. So it just has this sweetness on it. You know, I just love it. But I remember one day I was there and I was reading Ephesians chapter 1 and I read verse 3 and I got it. Like the Spirit of God just opened my mind and I got the full impact of this verse. And I got so happy. I was overcome by joy. I'm not kidding. Overcome. I remember being in my living room. Just, I couldn't get off this verse. I just kept thinking about it. And my mind is just spinning with the possibilities of the promise in this verse. And I'm so filled with joy. If you've experienced this, you'll know what I'm talking about. If not, I bless you to someday experience this. I was so filled with joy. I felt such intense joy inside of me. I actually felt like I was going to pop. I don't know if that makes sense. I mean, I was so happy. I was like, oh God, more, Lord, more. And then I'm so filled with happiness. I'm just like, oh, and I felt like, this just sounds strange unless you experience this, but I actually felt, and then I was like, careful, Lord. Because I felt like, I'm so happy. I'm like, if you give me more joy, I don't know if I can handle this. I mean, it's a weird feeling. I felt like I was going to explode with joy. Anyway, that would be a great way to go, wouldn't it? That would be, come on. So here's what got me happy. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the part that rocked me. Who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. First of all, it says, who has blessed us. That means it's already done. He's already decided. He's done it. The deposit is in your account, waiting to be withdrawn by faith. It doesn't say someday he's going to bless us. It says, I've already decreed it. It's already done. It's in your account. I have already blessed you by mere fact that you're in the Messiah, Jesus. That's what Christ means, Messiah, the King, the Savior. Because you follow him, you are already blessed with what? Tell me, what's in my account? Every spiritual blessing. Get out a blank piece of paper and go to town. What does that include? Just let your imagination run and let the happiness come. That's what happened to me. I'm like, every spiritual blessing. God, I want to be anointed to lead people to Jesus. It's there. God, I want to have intimacy with the Lord. Like anytime I want to be able to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Boom, it's there. I like to be healed. Boom, it's there. Lord, I would like to be delivered. Boom, it's there. I would like to be protected from demonic garbage. Boom, it's there. If it's a spiritual blessing, it's already in your account. If it's a spiritual blessing you can find in the Bible, it's in your account. And we make withdrawals on these blessings through faith. Is this making sense? I don't know if you're as happy as I was. And Paul goes on to list, just like an intro, to some of the spiritual blessings, okay, that he's talking about. And he goes on, next verse. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. This is very big. How many of you know you were chosen? God chose you. You know, we used to do this when I was a kid. We'd play dodgeball, we'd play football, baseball, whatever sport it was. We'd play this game at school, and we pick teams, right? And, you know, everybody lines up against the wall, and you pick two captains, and they take turns picking, you know, the team. And, you know, always the best players go first. And then at the end, there's those people that they're there, they can play, but they're probably not that good, or we think they're not that good. So they just have to go to one of the teams at the end. And so they end up getting picked. And but do you know that God has chosen you? And he didn't have to. He didn't have to choose you on his team. To be honest, he didn't have to choose any of us on his team. He could win handily by himself. He is a one-man domination crew. He can win anything. He can do anything he wants to do all by himself. He doesn't need our help, but he wants to invite us into partnership with him. He created you, and he says, I choose you. I want you on my team. And it says, when did he choose you? Before the creation of the world. I was born in 1975. But 6,000, you know, however many thousands of years before the day I was born, he knew me. I was in his mind. And he had a dream in his heart for my life. He says, Jeff is going to be a man after my own heart. He's always going to do what pleases me. He's going to love me and worship me so well. He's going to be an outstanding son. And he's going to be a phenomenal husband and father. He won't start out that way. But by the time I get through with him, that's what he's going to be. And I'm going to use him to bless other people. Because I'm going to bless him. And one of the ways I'm going to bless him, I'm going to bless others through him. And then I'm going to reward him for it for all of eternity. Even though it was my blessing that made it happen. Because he obeys. God had these plans and these dreams in my mind, and he had them about you too. He chose you. He appointed you for good works to go and bear fruit that remains from thousands of years before. You're not an accident. Anyway, that's a good spiritual blessing. I could camp out on all these things, but I can't for time's sake. You just have to camp out on them in your own time. This is cool. Oh, how about this? What did he choose us for? To be holy. Your destiny from before you were born, your God-ordained destiny, he prophesied over your life. He said, you will be holy. Your destiny is to live holy. So God's like, don't worry, I'll give you everything you need to get you there. One, through the blood of Jesus, instantly all your sins are washed away and you're made holy in his sight. He even goes on to say this. Not only are you destined to be holy, but blameless. What does it mean to be blameless? I mean, if I put you up here and I took every single person who's ever had even one encounter with you or heard one thing about you, and I lined them up and I said, everybody, if you have any accusation of any wrongdoing that this person's ever done, I want you to come forward with it right now. You know, we would be like, I would be like, I'm going to be here a long time. This is not going to be fun. They're just going to nail me. I've done so much wrong, right? It's like, this is going to be a bad day. But what Jesus does, he's like, no, you know, I have ordained you to be blameless in whose sight? In God's sight, it says. That makes me really happy because I know I can trick you. Right? We know how to act. I knew even growing up, you know, I knew how to go, when I'd go to a church service, I know how to smile, I know how to be a nice guy. You know, in the South, those Southern boys, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, we have good manners, and we're going out and we're living in sin and we're selfish and we're taking advantage of people, we're living in immorality, we're doing all this stuff, right? But it's so easy to fake people out because they're not there when you're on your phone in the privacy of your bedroom, right? But I know I can't fake God out. He's with me all the time. He sees everything. Even more than my actions, he sees the motives of my heart. So he even sees the sin that other people think, wow, that was a good righteous act. But God's like, eh, he was doing it for his own glory. It's like, oh, man, he sees it all. He knows my motives. And he says, Jeff, I've chosen you. In Christ, you are holy. All my sins washed away. Then he says this, you're blameless. So all the people could bring up my stuff, and Jesus, he stands up, he is the judge, he has all authority. He says, yeah, all those things you just said, they've already been paid for, those are dealt with, they're gone. So who's left then? The judge himself? Jesus, what about you? Do you have anything to accuse me? He says, I find you blameless, I can find nothing. I can find nothing to accuse you because of the blood of Jesus. Man, this is a good deal. This is a very big deal. This makes me happy. Because you know what? I care, like the desire of my heart, I care about pleasing God. I don't care that much about pleasing people. Because I've read enough of the Bible enough times where it's been drilled into me. I get it. You're not my judge. Jesus is. I'm not living to impress you because that's not going to cut it. You're not going to be able to stand up, Jesus, I think he's a good guy. On that day, it's just not going to happen, okay? His judgment is perfect. It's accurate. It's filled with mercy and everything. And I need him to say, blameless. That's why this makes me happy. You know what's cool about that? Is other people can accuse you all day long of wrongdoing, but if you know who you are in him, you could be confident and happy. They could say, man, Jeff is bad. He did this, he did this, he did this. And I just let it go in one ear, out the other ear, and say, thank you that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I trust in your blood. By your stripes, I am healed. My sins are forgiven. And I could be confident about who I am. All right. I can't spend much more time on this passage. So you should read it, though, because it's very good. Oh, I just got to do one more. You ready? In love, he predestined. I love that word. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons. What's God's will for my life? That you be holy, that you be blameless, that you be his son. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus. How do you get to be his son? Through Jesus, no other way. It's only through Jesus. In accordance with his pleasure. What? And will. So, God says, I have a plan for you thousands of years before you're born. He says, you're going to be holy, you're going to be blameless, and you're going to be my son or my daughter. And the very fact, like God's like, when I think about the day when you are my son and daughter, and I make you holy and blameless, I get filled with such pleasure just thinking about that. I think, like, God, you know, that's, you're very charitable. Like, I'm a charity case, you know, like, poor Jeff. He deserves hell. He is a loser outside of Jesus. This is true. I say that boldly with absolute faith. I have extreme confidence in my loserness apart from Jesus. But I'm also very confident in how lovely I am because I'm in Jesus. And he looks at me and I just think, wow, what a nice guy. Like, just rescuing me and forgiving my sins so I don't have to go to hell. Adopting me into your family and, like, giving me clothes and a great job and a purpose and lavishing, sharing all the wealth of your kingdom with me and all the blessings I could possibly imagine. Like, that is so good. Like, that's a very nice thing. And I just imagine him gritting his teeth, like, I'll do the nice thing because I'm God, I'm love. But you know what it says? He says, actually, Jeff, when I do this for you, you bring me pleasure. Like, this makes me happy. I get really pleased just because you're my son. That's incredible. So I'm going on. But you are blessed. That's the point I want to make. Okay? You're blessed. Every spiritual blessing. I expect, everywhere I go and everything I do, I expect to be blessed at. It doesn't mean we don't go through trials. It doesn't mean we don't go through hardships. It doesn't mean we don't experience persecution, because we do in this age. It doesn't mean that everybody's always going to like me, because not everybody likes Jesus. In fact, a huge percentage of the world really hates him and especially hates his leadership and commands. And he said to his disciples, he says, listen, don't take it personal. They hate me, they're going to hate you. Don't worry, it's not you. It's me. I'm in you. Yeah, that's right. You want the good news or the bad news? The good news is I am with you and I am in you. The bad news is I am with you and I'm in you, and they hated me, and so they're going to hate you too. But go anyway, and don't be afraid of those guys who killed your body only. Be afraid of the one who can send your body and your soul to hell. Matthew 10. It's good news, right? So I expect to be blessed. I expect to be blessed. And I want you to be confident that you expect to be blessed wherever you go. I just have this confidence that it's just grown in me over the years of seeing this work. I expect that when I meet somebody, eventually they're probably going to like me. Actually, I really do think that. I'm like, no, really, like, once people get to know me, they'll probably like me. Now, of course, there's those people who want to kill me. The more they get to know me, hopefully the more they get to see Jesus, they either get saved or don't want to kill me all the more. But there is that person out there. But I actually experience this. Just a lot of times you just meet people, and I expect this. And I know it's not me. It's not because I have a winsome personality. It's not because of any natural thing. It's because God has come to me, and he places his hand on me. And he's like, you have favor with me, so I'm going to cause you to have favor with people. I am going to, the way I like you and trust you, I'm going to put that in them so they'll just instinctively like you and feel like, this is a safe person, I can trust you. It says of Jesus in Luke 2:52, it says that he grew in favor with God. It said he grew in wisdom and in favor with God and with who? And with men. And it works in that order. We grow in wisdom. We obey the truth we know. God gives us commands, and he gives us light. And he says, if you walk in the light I've given you, you grow in favor with God. Now, you already have favor as soon as you believe the gospel. In fact, you have favor before you believe the gospel, because there's favor in his heart. He wants to save you. Even when you're in rebellion against him, he reaches out to you. And when you say yes, there's an increase of you walking in that favor. And then as you continue to say yes to the light he gives you, I hope this is making sense to you. It makes sense to me. But you're not in my head. I'm trying to get my head into you. So, but as I walk in the light that he gives me, there's a trust, a confidence in him that grows. He's like, oh, he's getting it. I can trust him. He's going to do what I say. And then when that happens, he increases authority. He increases favor. And so he causes other people to like us and want to actually listen to us. Why? He likes us to be blessed, but that's not the main reason. It's because we're an ambassador of Jesus Christ. We represent him. And when people just like us and want to listen to us, it creates this open door for us to reveal Jesus to them. And they say, you know what? This guy's not a loser. He's not a fake. He's not a joke. I really have respect for him. So you know what? I'm listening and taking seriously what he's saying with me right now. Jesus, you can grow in favor. You grow in wisdom, and then you grow in favor with God, who in turn blesses you and causes you to grow in favor with people. Where people get messed up is they try to grow in favor with people without, that becomes their focus. Don't make growing in favor with people your focus. If I can just get better people skills, and if I can like do some name dropping, and I know so-and-so, that like people that would impress you. You know what I mean? And I could drop some names, and I could tell you some glory stories about my awesomeness. Then you're going to think I'm amazing, and you'll trust me. It's like, no, I'm not trying to gain favor with you on my own strength. I'm looking to honor the Lord in this relationship. That's number one. I grow in favor with God, and when I do that, he'll take care of the favor with men. That was so good, what I just told you. You're welcome. That was really good, actually. That's very important. Like, so many people, this messes them up. They try to go in favor with people before they grow in favor with God. You know, fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You grow in favor with God, and he blesses you to grow in favor with men. Okay, so let's do, Deuteronomy 28. God says to Israel, if you fully obey the Lord your God, all these blessings, everybody say blessings. He says all of these blessings, okay? All of these blessings will come upon you, and this is, I like this part, and overtake you. Have you ever been overtaken by blessing? That's just an awesome thing. I've been overtaken in the natural, like by, I lived in Hawaii for a little while, and I grew up in Oregon, which is very cold beaches, very cold water. Like, it'd numb your feet to stand just in the water that comes up on the beach. Then I moved to California, and I learned how to swim in the ocean and take care of the waves. And so I was feeling pretty confident when I moved to Hawaii, and I'd see all these magazines with these 30-foot waves. And I'd be like, dude, that would be awesome. Of course, I'm doing the three-footers in Southern California, and I'm like, 30-foot, yeah, I'm all about that. That would be amazing. I want to get tubed, like the pictures, you know. That would be so cool. So we moved to Hawaii. I'm thinking, this is so cool. I remember going to the beach. It was one of my first trips where we got to this beach, and it wasn't the 30-footers, but it was like 10-footers. It was good waves. And I remember I should have paid attention to the warning in my heart, actually, on beach. Like, I'm standing on the shore, and I'm excited when I see the waves, and as I come up to them, there's this excitement. But as I get closer, just the sound, the roar of waves that are that big is quite deafening. It's just like, and I'm standing there going, I can do this. And so I walk out there. Warning number two, I should have paid attention. I can't hardly get past just the white water. Like, the wave breaks and the white water comes. I try to duck dive it. I try to do everything you're supposed to do. And it just pushes me all the way back into shore. I'm like, man, that is powerful water. I've never experienced water that powerful. But I didn't listen to the warning. And so I was like, I can do this. Perseverance. And so I persevere. And I finally get out behind the white water. And then this wave comes and I'm going to catch it. I'm like, so excited, and it caught me more than I caught it. And I remember I'm going, yes, it's going to be so good. And it just lifts me up. It's just like the power is so intense. Lifts me up from the bottom all the way up the face of the wave to the top and then dumps me. And I'm free falling. You know how it tubes over? And I'm free falling in the air. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Bam, I hit the water. Guess what comes next? Boom, just buries me. I mean, I'm tumbling under the water. I'm just, I don't know which way is up, which way is down. I'm just thinking, I hope I don't drown. I mean, I don't know what's happening. I can't even get above the water. I can't stop rolling. I don't know what's happening to me. I'm all turned around. It just keeps rolling me and rolling me and rolling me and rolling me. Finally, the mercy of God, it eventually, I got shallow enough where I hit sand. I was like, okay, there's the sand. And then I knew to stand up, and I was done. I'm like, I'm out of the water. I'm a California boy. I am not a Hawaii boy. And so I say that because that's overtaken. It's an illustration of what it means to be overtaken. And God says to Israel in Deuteronomy 28, he says, listen, you guys, I'm talking to you as a nation. You do all these laws I just gave you. You obey me. All these blessings, I'm going to list them out specifically. Read Deuteronomy 28. They're very specific blessings. He says, these blessings, I will see to it you will be blessed. Not only that, these blessings are going to overtake you. There's just nothing. You can run, but you can't hide. Like, the blessing will find you, and it will overtake you. Like, there's nothing you could do except disobey. That's the only way you could get yourself out of the flow of this thing. One of those blessings is this, one of these blessings is the Lord will bless everything you put your hand to. See, there's a lot of things that we put our hands to, and we think this is no big deal. It's just part of life, right? I mean, I have to mow my lawn. But if I'm going to mow my lawn, and I put my hand to that, God's going to bless me. Well, I have to discipline my children, my parent. I don't discipline them, they're going to go crazy, right? I have to discipline them. God says, whatever you put your hand to, I'll bless. I have to go to work, right? Yeah, but I don't have that big of a job. No offense, I flip burgers at McDonald's, whatever it is. It doesn't seem like it's that important. God's like, you put your hand to it, I put my hand to it. I'll bless you then. Whatever you put your hand to, it will be blessed. Everything you put your hand to will be blessed if, what's the condition? You obey. He tells Abraham, obey, do what I say, and I'll bless you like this. Obey the gospel, he tells us, and every spiritual blessing will be yours in Christ. So I remember one of the blessings of Deuteronomy 28 is the fruit of your womb will be what? Will be blessed. And so here's, I want to turn this in. I want to build your confidence in these things. Because they can make the difference between life and death at times. And when Autumn was 6 months pregnant, because I know Deuteronomy 28 very well, because my pastor, the church I got saved in, every single week, that's how we always ended service, he would speak the blessings of Deuteronomy 28 over us, which I love to this day. I love that man. And so I know it. But my wife is pregnant with Malachi, and she was 6 months pregnant. And I remember it was a Sunday, and she comes to me after church. She's a children's show, the kids' own leader at the time in the church we were at. And she comes up to me. She's like, you know, I'm having contractions. Well, that was no big deal. You know, you have those Braxton Hicks contractions randomly throughout the pregnancy a lot of times. And she had been, so that's no big deal. Except she goes, yeah, but they are like, they're like 30 minutes apart, and they're regular, and they're getting closer and closer together. I can't remember how close did they end up getting. Maybe to 15 minutes or something. Anyway, they got these things. It was like showing signs of possibly of early labor. And I remember, like, I hear that, and I'm so in love with my son already that I've never met that's in the womb. I mean, I've been praying for him years before he was even conceived. I'm in love with him to this day. I'm so in love with him. And he's in the womb, and I've never met him, and I can't wait to meet him. And all of a sudden, I know that at 6 months, he's not developed enough to survive outside the womb. And she's going into labor, and fear overtakes my faith. And I remember just being in fear, like, oh, no, you know, I don't want to lose my son. I don't want to. And but I knew enough not to, that wasn't the Lord. And so I was trying to get myself into the place of faith, but I was having a hard time doing it. And to make matters worse, there was another person around who was a believer, a sweet person who was a believer, who was like, you know, I knew this one person one time, and this happened to her, and the baby ended up dying. And I'm like, shut up. I love you. Like, seriously, I don't want to hear this, you know. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, okay, I got to get out of here. Because Autumn, there's nothing I could do for her. The doctors are like, just tell her to rest, drink lots of fluid, kick her feet up, don't do a lot of activity. And they're like, okay, well, your feet are up, you got water. I'm leaving. I am leaving to go pray, and I will not come back until I have faith. And because I just knew I'm not good for anything here. I can't be of any blessing to the situation right now because I'm in my spirit's wrong. And so I go to the place I worked. They were closed on Sundays, and I had a key. So I went in there. I knew no one would be there. And I got alone with the Lord. I'm like, God, help me. I'm not leaving. And I pray in tongues. I worship. I just do different things. And in the course of that, probably 20, 30 minutes into that time of prayer, God gives me this vision. It's like meant this picture that just pops into my mind. And in this picture in my mind, I'm in the delivery room, and I see and I'm holding my son, and he's healthy, and I'm holding him in my arms, like joyful, just rejoicing over him, and he's super healthy, and he's super blessed. And as soon as I see this vision, this verse pops into my mind, and the fruit of your womb will be blessed. That's what I needed. I needed that anchor to attach my faith to strengthen me. And once I had that from the Lord, I began speaking it out loud, because I've done this before. And I'm like, Lord, I thank you that my son is blessed. The fruit of my womb, he is blessed. And that means he's going to be healthy. He's going to be born exactly at the time you want him to be born. Not a minute before, not a minute late. They had to actually, he ended up being, so, I had peace. I had joy, and I knew I had victory. As soon as I had that, I was in faith. I went home. Everything was okay. Everything ended up being okay. In fact, so okay, he went 2 weeks over his due date, and we had to induce him and say, it's time. He had to induce labor. And he's born healthy, and I rejoiced. But why do I say that? Like, God has blessed you. We expect God to bless us in everything. But this confidence in the blessing, we have to attach our faith to it. Does that make sense? Okay? I want to do one more thing. I want to talk a little bit about the, not only I am blessed, but I am a blessing. I am anointed to be a blessing. So I'll talk a little bit about that, and then I'll finish. You guys doing okay? I'm going to read Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, in a different version, Amplified Bible, because I like the way the Amplified says it. He says that, Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you abundantly, like it, and make your name great, exalted, distinguished. That's cool. I'm down with that. I'm like, yeah, God, make my name great, exalted and distinguished. I love that. And you shall be a blessing. And then he says, it's a source of great good to others. So knowing that we're blessed gives us confidence, right? Like, God's with me. Whatever I put my hand to, he'll bless me. Doesn't mean I don't seek him. I do seek him, because I don't want to just randomly put my hand to a million things. Like, God, give me guidance. What do you want me to put my hand to? And then when I feel confidence, like, yeah, I feel God's in this. He wants me to pursue this. Then I do it in faith, expecting it to be blessed. But knowing that we are blessed, that this favor and this blessing is on our lives, actually gives us confidence to be a blessing to other people. And so, you guys know the story. I told you guys this, but it illustrates it really good, so I'm just going to say it again. A few years ago, my sister calls me And she's in medical school. She's amazing. And she's like, man, her car broke down. And she needs a car because she has to do a lot of driving, and it's she needs a car. And she's like, hey, you know, like, called me up, and she was just sharing her need and asking if I would co-sign on a loan for her. And I was like, I knew right away I'm not going to co-sign because the Bible says don't do that. And so it recommends not to do it. But I had this desire in my heart. I'm like, oh, God, somehow I want to help her. And I said, you know what, let me pray, and let me talk to my wife, and then I'll call you back and let you know, because I do want to help you out. And right away, this is what I thought. This is the first thing that came to my mind. I said, you know what, Autumn and I, there's just this blessing that's on us with cars. Like, we've, in the 20, almost 21 years that we've been married, we've had 7 cars given to us. And we've given 4 away. God's given us 7. And so I just knew, I'm like, God gives us cars a lot. I mean, whenever we've needed it, this has happened a bunch of times. I'm like, I'm pretty confident that, and I have 2 cars right now. I have 2 cars. She has 0. So I could probably, and, you know, she's, I'm like, I could give her one of my cars, and then she'd be taken care of, and God would probably just give me another one in its place to replace it, and I'll be fine. I just knew that, because I was confident. I'm very blessed in this area, and just because he's been that way to us. And so I say, Autumn, what do you think about giving her a car, and then God will just take care of us and probably give us another one? Autumn's like, I like it. Let's do this. You know, she was all excited about it, so I'm like, let's do this. I called her up, Lacey, if you can get here, you can drive my car home and you can have it for free. You know, we'll just give it to you. And she was like, wow, you know, like, really? And she came up, and it was so good because I actually got to see her. I hadn't seen her in a while, and I got to hang out with her for a few days, and it was just super blessed. Well, my sister, you know, she would tell you this. She's not a believer in Jesus at this point. She's says she's agnostic. And I tell her, I'm like, yeah, we give her the car. We just have a great time with her. And we're like, God's going to take care of us. She's like, man, this is so nice, you know, that you would do this. And we're like, yeah, you know, be blessed. And finally, the day she's going to leave on a Saturday morning to go back home and drive our car. So Friday night, before prayer meeting at my house, we signed the title over her to her for free. We're like, here you go. It's your car. As soon as we do that, like literally probably within 5 to 15 minutes, it was right away, somebody comes over for prayer meeting. It was Stan, wherever he is. There he is. And he comes up, and he knows nothing about this, because we hadn't told, it's not like we told a bunch of people about this. We're just doing it before God. And he comes up, and he's just like, man, I just feel impressed. Like, God told me that I was supposed to give you my car. I'm serious. Within 5 to 15 minutes of signing the title over. And I was like, did you know what's going on right now? He's like, what? You know, he had no idea. He's like, I just felt like God told me, you know, to take my car, lay it at the apostles' feet, you know. And I was like, wow, this is cool. So I was like, Lacey, you know, I call her in because she says she's agnostic. You know, I'm like, guess what? And I told her the testimony. I'm like, he just came in and gave us his car. And she's like, wow, really? I'm like, yeah. It was so cool, you know. And so anyway, she just blessed me actually a couple weeks ago. She was like, she sent me her cell phone. She got a new one. It was an upgrade over the one I had. And she's like, here, I just wanted to bless you. So she returned the favor. But anyway, but when we're confident that we're blessed, it frees us up where I can be a blessing to others, because I'm never going to lack what I need. I'm always going to have what I need. And there's more to that story, but I don't need to tell that part for now. Anyway, so we sing this song, right? Listen to this. You want me to sing it? Okay. We sing this about God. When you walk into the room, everything changes. Isn't that true? And we believe that, don't we? Okay, listen to this. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. Like, if you walk into this room, demons are terrified because of the power and the glory and the light that you bring. Like, everything changes when you step into the room. Is when you walk into the room, sickness starts to vanish, and every hopeless situation ceases to exist. Oh, that's so good. When you walk into the room, God, the dead begin to rise because there's resurrection life in all that you do. Now, isn't that good? And we believe that about God. But let me ask you a question. When you're born again, God comes and lives in you. So follow the logic. So when you walk into the room, God walks into the room. I had this prophecy that was over me. I love this word. This was given to me back in 2000. I was a youth pastor at the time. We had a youth service. The Spirit was moving on me. The service was over, but I was just at the altar area because the Spirit was on me really strong. It felt so good. I take it right now, Lord. Like, it felt really good. I was just captivated. I didn't want to leave. He was just on me in a very tangible way, and I was feeling His power and His love resting on me. So I'm sitting there, and then this girl comes up to me while I'm there. I'm just on the floor. And she comes up to me and just begins prophesying over me. I want to read this word because it illustrates something. I lived in a town, little town about the size of Huron named Bolivar. It says, I'm trying to sum it up. So she had a praise hoop. Okay, so it was like this thing, and it had these tassels on the end of it, and she'd wave it through the air, and it'd be like a flag in the wind, it kind of sounded like. So she was like waving that over me. I'm just on the floor, feeling God, so I'm like, do whatever you want, I don't care. I just like, I'm not moving. And she's just like, you know, the flag, you know, going in the wind as she does it over me. And then she says, the same sound that this hoop makes as it moves through the air is the sound of my angel's wings as they walk with you. And it is the sound that the Spirit, Holy Spirit, makes when you walk through the town I lived in at the time, Bolivar. Good so far. The wind of my Spirit is with you all the time. How often? Okay. In you, over you, surrounding you, and the demons and principalities know it. I like this word. They hear the sound and hate it. They tremble and flee. There is authority in this, not only because I am in you, this is God speaking, but also because I am going before you. Everywhere that you go, I have already gone before you. I love this. So there's this picture of authority. And as I'm reading this, you know, at the time, back when she gave it to me, I had this picture of me. I'm the same way I am now. Go into the stores, and I pray for people, and I talk to people about Jesus. This is just what I've done for a long, long time. And I do that in Bolivar, too, when I live there, and I want to take Bolivar for Jesus. If I live there, I'm going to take the city for God. That's my goal, always. You know what I mean? So I'm living there. I'm like, I want to take Bolivar for Jesus. I want to see a million people saved. So I'm sharing the gospel, and I just have this picture of, like, when I go, He goes with me. And there's authority, and all the demons that are at work in the people and in the atmosphere, when I come in, God comes in with me, and all of a sudden they hear the presence of the Spirit, and they tremble and they flee. And it's like, in Christ, and because of His anointing, I'm in this place of authority to rule the atmosphere for His glory. I like it. And that's the picture I'm getting and that God is giving me. And then He says, but there is one thing you sometimes lack. I love this part of the word too. Confidence. The devil flees, but when you back away even the slightest bit, he's no longer afraid. You must always remember that your authority does not come from you, it comes from me. And the Lord's like, Jeff, do you know who I am and that I'm with you? I want you to know this. Don't forget this. When you walk into a room, I walk into a room. Everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that He brings. But when I lack confidence and I walk in and I'm like, oh, the devil's so big. There's so many demons in this room. These people they don't like God. And I get my eyes on the wind and the waves like Peter did. I start sinking. And God's like, be confident. I'm with you. I go before you. I clear your path in front of you. I cut a path for you. And then you get there, I'm with you. And when you leave, I stay and I keep working with what you release. And then Winter and I. So I believe that I know this. I believe, like, if I go somewhere, God goes somewhere. I really believe that. And it's not just me. It's I'm in Christ. That's all I am. I'm like, loser comes to Jesus. Jesus makes him a winner. It's the same with you. You know, it's all of us. It's like I'm no different than anyone else who comes to know the Lord. Like, God is with you, and he's anointed you not only to be blessed there, but to be a blessing there. So he may be glorified. That's the goal. He may be glorified. I remember one time, like, Autumn gave me this word. Well, this happened first. I'll tell you a couple stories. So I remember Winter and I, we were going out. We were just going around town sharing the gospel here in Huron. And I remember, like, going up to this girl. God led us to her. And she had been seeing demons and, I think, talking to them and things like that in her attic at her house or whatever. Hardly knows anything about the gospel. A little bit, but I'm sharing the gospel with her, Winter and I are. And as I'm sitting there sharing, I don't think really know the Lord. And as I'm sharing the gospel, all of a sudden, this super strong presence of the Holy Spirit comes, like, instantly. It's like, didn't feel it to, whoa, he's here. Like, really strong. And I feel it because we were praying for her when it happened. It shocked me, actually. It's happened a few times like this. And when it does, I always pay attention. I'm like, wow. I think I know what it is now. And so I remember I'm praying, and all of a sudden, there's a super strong presence shows up. Well, I'm like, is she feeling that too, or is it just me? Because I'm having fun right now. I hope she's feeling this. So I asked her, I was like, is anything happening to you right now? Because I didn't want to suggest the right answer. I wanted to get an authentic response. And so I'm like, is anything happening right now? And then she says, yeah. She goes, an angel just talked to me. I'm like, really? So I'm like, you test the spirits, right? Especially with this girl. And so I'm like, what did he say? And because I didn't hear an angel. And I just felt the presence of the Holy Spirit suddenly show up. And then she says, well, he's telling me that I need to obey Jesus. I'm going, yep, that's a good one. I'm like, yeah, that's good. You should do that. That's right. That's a good angel. That's from the Lord. You should totally do that. And it was so cool, you know. I'm like, I felt this presence. I didn't know it was an angel. I just felt the Holy Spirit. You know, the anointing that's on angels, it's the Holy Spirit. You guys with me? It's the same anointing that comes upon us. It's all God. And so, anyway, later on, I'm out sharing the gospel again. I'm in an apartment complex here in town. I only have like 30 minutes because I think I'm leaving the country or something the next day. And I go and I knock on this door. This girl answers the door. I'm like, hey, can I pray for you? And she goes, yeah, you can. I have seizures all the time. And she had epilepsy, okay? And she goes, I have seizures. And so I was like, okay. I was like, well, let's pray for that to be healed. And I just kind of discerned. I was like, anybody in your family that has this? Yes, there's other people in your family that has this. And so I say, okay, I just discern. I think it's a generational curse. And there's a demon that comes and enforces that curse. And so I said, but Jesus died on the cross to break the curse over your life and to close those doors and to give you a blessing in its place. She's like, okay, I believe that. So I quickly shared the gospel. She's like, I believe that. I believe he died for me. Yeah, I want to follow him. I said, okay, let's pray. This is all 10 minutes. I lead her in a quick prayer. This is in front of her front door in the hallway of her apartment complex. Just really quickly, I lead her because I only have like 20, 30 minutes. So I'm like, okay. Lord, I give my life to you. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. The curse is broken. I command the demon to leave, etc. We get done, and as we're praying, it happens again. I instantly feel this super powerful presence show up. Just like it's not there, and then it's there. I'm like, wow. I'm like, is she feeling this, or is it just me? Same thing. And so I say, yeah, is anything happening to you right now? Do you sense anything going on? She goes, yeah. She goes, I felt something fly away from me. I felt something fly away from me as soon as we told that demon to leave. I'm like, oh, that's good. You know, that's what should happen. That's really good. And so I'm like, God bless you in Jesus' name, amen. I leave, you know, because I had to go. And so I think it was an angel showing up again. That's my hypothesis. I'll find out someday. And I remember I came back like 2 days later, And I saw her again. And she's there, and she's super excited to see me. She's like, hi. I'm like, hey. And she's like, I haven't had a seizure for 2 days. I'm like, that's cool. And but I didn't know if she had them, like, once a month or, you know, like, if that's no big deal. I said, well, how often do you usually have them? She goes, I have multiple seizures every single day, and I haven't had one in 2 days since that thing flew away from me. I'm like, that is awesome. That is so good. What am I? I'm just saying, you are anointed by God to be a blessing to others. That's what I'm saying. When you come somewhere, God comes with you to be a blessing to the people. Not to exalt you or glorify you, to glorify Jesus, to bear witness to the testimony of Jesus, and to rescue people and bless them. Amen? Okay. So let's do this. Why don't you stand with me? First of all, first thing I want to do, Jesus is God. He's the King of all of heaven and all of earth. He has all authority and power. He rules over everything. He rules over all the spirits. He rules the nations. And Jesus died on the cross to forgive your sins so that you in relationship could have, or you and God could be in relationship again. And if you want eternal life and you want a relationship with God, you have to believe that's true. And then you have to turn away from your sin and start following Jesus today. If you would like to do that, I just want you to raise your hand right now and I want to pray with you. If you would like to say, I'm turning away from idolatry and sin and I'm going to follow Jesus as my King. I'm going to obey him. If you want to do that, just hold up your hand really high so I can see it. Anyone else? Okay. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray then, and you're going to talk to God. You're not talking to me. You're talking to the Lord. I am nothing. He is everything. He's the one who's going to give you life. What we're going to do is we're going to pray. He's going to forgive your sins, and then he's going to, the Holy Spirit, God, is going to come into you to live inside of you. And everything changes. So let's pray together. You ready? Just close your eyes and just say this out loud with me. Just say, Jesus, I believe that you are God. I believe you died on the cross to forgive my sins. I believe you rose from the dead and that you're alive right now. Therefore, I commit my life to obey you. And to follow you, and to worship you. Forgive all my sin. Cleanse me of all guilt. Get all darkness out of me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your light. Holy Spirit. I bless you in the name of Jesus to be filled with the Holy Spirit and that the promise described in the scriptures that your sins will be forgiven, you'll be born again, and that the Holy Spirit will live in you, making you a new creation. I bless you that this would be fulfilled in your life today. Today, in Jesus' name, I bless you that this blessing of salvation and new life, it will overtake you. I bless you with this. And you'll never be the same. You'll glorify God with your life. In Jesus' name. Now the rest of you, or all of you, who are in Jesus, I'm going to just speak. I just want to help you pray and declare a blessing over you. Does that sound good? So everybody just say this with me. Just say, I am blessed. Thank you, God, that I am blessed. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about everything you put your hand to. I want you to think about your situations in your life. Think about your relationships. Think about your schooling or your work or whatever it is you're doing, your relationship with your neighbors, your neighborhood, your whatever it is, your ministry, your relationship with your kid or your spouse, whatever it is, and I want you to say, I am blessed in this relationship. I am blessed in this. And I just want you to work your way through some of those things that God brings to mind and just declare, I am blessed, and I expect God's blessing to take over in this area of my life. I'm just going to give you a minute or two to just work through that with the Lord. Just begin declaring the things. You're blessed in those areas He brings to mind. Just in those things, God, show me your way. Show me your way in this situation and circumstance or relationship, whatever it is. Show me how to obey you and honor you and go about this your way. And I expect your blessing to be with me as I do it. So ask Him for the wisdom you need, because you got to do it His way. If you obey God, you'll be blessed. You know, if you go out and live in sin, He ain't going to bless it. A relationship that you're dishonoring the Lord in the relationship, He's not going to bless the relationship. I had a couple come to me one time years ago, and they wanted me to, a sweet couple, actually, I love them, but they wanted me to marry them. But they were living together, they were living in immorality, they weren't married. I'm like, okay, well, here, why do you want me to marry you? You could just go to a judge. And I was like, I think you guys should, I'll be willing to marry you, but you have to live in, whatever's happened, it's happened. Well, let's put the blood of Jesus, ask for forgiveness, and then move out. And you honor God from this point forward in the relationship and live in purity. And they're like, no, we don't want to do that. I was like, well, there's no sense in me marrying you, because just because I marry you and I'm a pastor, it doesn't mean you're going to be blessed. You'll be blessed if you obey Him. And then nothing I can do can stop it. You know, that's the thing. You have to obey the Lord in that area of your life. Okay? So the way you go about it, you got to do it God's way. And they decided. They were like, well, I think we'll just have a judge marry us then. I said, okay, that's your choice. But do you want to be blessed? I don't know why. Sometimes we think we can play with God. God's like, I'm not complicated. The message is so simple. From Genesis to Revelation, you hear His voice, and then you believe and obey and do what He says. And He's like, I'll bless you. I'll make you a blessing. Nothing the devil or any person can do to stop it. You will be blessed. I will see to it. But if you don't obey, He's like, all these curses will overtake you. He's like, you're not going to be blessed. You know, there is a choice in life. You could choose to seek and honor Him, and you'll be blessed. Nothing can, the devil can't stop. Or you can do it your own way, and nothing you can do will make it work. It won't work. You have to do it God's way. His way works. Every other way fails. And repentance and saying, I'm going to make Jesus my Lord, is I'm going to find out your way and do it your way, because I think you're smarter than me. And so I think your ways are right, so I'm going to do it your way. And I know you care about me and you love me, so I'm going to do it your way. I know you want to bless me, so I'm going to do what you say so I can come into that blessing. So Holy Spirit, I just release now. I release your blessing. I pray, God, in every circumstance and situation, that you'd make your counsel known. How can they honor you in this situation? Then help them to line up with you and do it. And in Jesus' name, I bless them. I declare that your blessing would overtake them in this area of their life. Father, they'd see the goodness of the Lord shine through, overcome demonic attacks, overcome barriers that the enemy sets up, and let light and blessing break in on them in Jesus' name. God, we just command every circumstance and situation to line up with God's will in their life, that they would be blessed in Jesus' name. And that they would be a blessing. All right. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm all done. I'll let you guys go. Have an awesome day. And